9 o'clock, Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Tim Tebow expected to sign a one-year contract to play tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Timmy!
You happy Timmy's coming back to the league? Don't really care?
Do not care.
Also, we talked about D-Mac Darren McKee, who's the afternoon host over in Denver on The Fan. After there was an article in the Denver Post about all the number of 90-plus arms in high school baseball in the state, McKee made a comment that, well, it's all about club coaching and that high school baseball is just purely for fun.
Yeah.
A lot of high school coaches took exception to that comment. And just your reaction to what he, because he quickly backpedaled on it and said, no, it's important, but.
He reversed like he was Jason Statham in a chase.
Exactly.
That's how fast he went back. We also have a Tim Tebow conspiracy theory, too.
We do. Is this on the text line?
No, it's on Twitter.
Okay. Can you hit it to me? Can you give it to me very quickly?
Tebow playing tight end in the NFL is an insult. He needs to be on the active roster for just 3 games this year for a credited season and become a fully vested player to have enough service time for lifetime bennies.
Uh-huh. Is he really hurting for money, though? But still, if he
The lifetime bennies.
Would be good, right?
Yeah.
Just has to be on the active roster for 3 games.
3 games.
So there you go. All right, so text or call us today, 970-242-1340. Do we have a winner, by the way?
Yes, we have a handful of winners, actually.
Okay, first off, let's start with 357 Reloaded Stadium Cinema.
Yes, correctly identifying.
Well, Bob, let me do this.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Rick correctly identified Field of Dreams. Of course, the piano gives it away, naturally.
Right.
And winning a pair of Scottish Highland Game tickets is Kelly. Also winning a pair is, I believe, Phil.
Okay, congratulations.
Not Phil. Evan.
Evan. All right, very good.
Bill Stills in his window.
All right, still time to win Qdoba today. Text in 970-242-1340. And with us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, first baseman for the Colorado Mesa Mavericks, number one team in D2 baseball, Jordan Stubbings joins us. Jordan, I appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Doing well.
Got done with the morning weights and just coming in and saying hi to you guys.
Well, we appreciate it. After some weights, hydration, you talk to us. We appreciate that, Jordan. Your ball club winning 3 out of 4 this past weekend at CSU Pueblo. Look, there's no love lost there with you and the Thunder Wolves, and it's always great to get a series win. How mad were you guys when you lost on Sunday, though? Because it was a 21-game winning streak that came to an end. You guys certainly maybe didn't play some of your best baseball on Sunday, but what was there? Was there even a reaction to when you guys saw your winning streak come to an end, especially against a team like CSU Pueblo?
I mean, we really never really played with the idea in our head that we had a win streak going. We never played that way. We just went out there and had fun and played baseball, and we are that good where we just go out there, we play, we have fun, we win. But the reaction after that game was it was kind of somber. We were not very happy with ourselves, but it was like the first time that we actually lost a game in that quite some time, and then we just kicked the ball around the whole time, and we lost that game ourselves. We didn't lose it necessarily,
right,
by them out beating us, but we just lost it because we inflicted pain on ourselves, and we did not hit the ball well, we did not throw the ball well, we just didn't do anything well that day, and that's how baseball is sometimes, and it's okay. You will have those days, but you just got to learn from it, and you got to come back and got to go with your boys and go win the next one.
Jordan Stubbings, Maverick first baseman, hitting .374 on the season. Jordan's also smacked 9 home runs on the season for the Mavericks, along with driving in 38 runs so far for the Mavericks in this 2021 campaign. I know Coach Hanks made the comment, Jordan, that he felt like the guys maybe as a team, you guys are getting a little disinterested because you wrap up the conference championship, the regular season title early. You have the RMAC tournament you'll be hosting next week. And that maybe the focus wasn't there, that guys are starting to think ahead a little bit to the postseason, and maybe the focus wasn't there against CSU Pueblo on Sunday.
I mean, I definitely would feel that way. I agree with Skip on that standpoint. The entire weekend, we didn't play our best baseball the entire weekend, but being the team we are, we still gutted it out, still got three wins. And, I mean, we just could easily have lost almost all of those games. They out-hit us the entire weekend. But it just goes to show how gritty our team is, that we found a way to win even when we didn't have our best stuff. It was a different weekend, and Skip was very adamant about us being focused up this next week. And I mean, that's what we had weights this morning, and we never have weights on a Tuesday 8 a.m. morning. But got back, he said, "You know what, boys, you're gonna have a good week this week, and we're gonna go out there and have our best baseball against Christian, and go out there and play for the RMAC championship the next weekend."
Jordan Stubbings of the Colorado Mesa Mavericks baseball team with us on the Team Sports Network. You know, Jordan, you look at some of the national offensive numbers, and boy, you guys are all over the place in terms of some of the national offensive rankings. Obviously, number one in batting average right now at 389. And you played on some really good offensive clubs, both when you played high school ball at Legend, over in the Front Range, and also at Colorado Mesa. Is this the best offensive team you've played on?
This is by far the best offensive team I've ever been a part of. Even dating back to the year that we went to the World Series and we lost in 2019, that was a good hitting team. But this team is even better. I mean, we took basically the same lineup from that team, added a couple guys to it, and we all just got more mature with our approaches, more mature with everything that we see. And we are just better overall hitters. And it's been the best team that I've ever played a part of.
Jordan Stubbings, first baseman for the Colorado Mesa Mavericks baseball team with us on the program. And looking, and your pitching staff doesn't hurt, right? You guys have the top offense in the RMAC, top pitching staff. Andrew Morse has had a sensational season. Trevin Reynolds, I mean, Cannon Handy. I mean, the list goes on and on of guys, and I'm leaving some names out probably that I should be talking about with that pitching staff. But, boy, they've made your lives a lot better in terms of what they've been able to do on the bump. And certainly run support, you guys have backed them up in a big way time and time again.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun to play behind them. And, I mean, when you play behind Mo, you might not get a ball until the seventh inning because he's throwing a no-hitter every single weekend. He's that good. And Trevin and all our guys have gone out there and done their job this year. And that's what we speak to. That's all Skip speaks to, is just go out there, do your job, and everything will fall where it falls. But if you play the way that you play, and that's all you can control.
Do you guys ever drop that line with Andrew Morse from Bull Durham about, hey, you know, let's don't be a fascist here. You know, let's have a ground ball occasionally. Let's let everybody else participate. Do you guys ever say that to him? Come on, man. Let's see a ground ball occasionally. Come on. A little something exactly, for the rest of us, okay?
Yeah, I don't think we've ever brought up the line from Bull Durham exactly, but, you know, we in the dugout, we're like, dang, man, can we just get something in the field? We're getting bored out here. Seriously. We're putting up 15 runs a game, and you're just striking out everybody, and we don't get to freaking play.
Exactly. Come on. This needs to be a democracy here. You need to, induce a couple of slow rollers, you know, something, you know, just give me a little something, right?
Exactly.
Jordan Stubbings, first baseman for the Colorado Mesa Mavericks baseball team with us today on the Team Sports Network. And Jordan, obviously the focus this weekend is Colorado Christian wrapping up the regular season and getting ready for the RMAC tournament. I mean, look, when we talk about this team here, the number one team in the nation. How tough is it to have the weight of those expectations on this ball club to really expect to get back to Cary and go back to the D2 World Series?
I mean, you definitely feel it, but ever since you put on a Colorado Mesa uniform, that is the goal, and that is the only goal that you have. You are expected to win the RMAC. You're expected to win the RMAC tournament, and you are expected to win the regional. And it's a lot of weight, but at the same time, when you just go about your own business and you play with the team, you play with your guys, I mean, I think this is the closest knit group of guys that I've ever played with. Everybody loves everybody on the team, and everybody trusts everybody. And it's just such a fun environment, and it really shows on the field when we play and have fun together.
Okay, it says in your bio that you like fishing and hiking. Not that you have a lot of time to do either one of those things right now, but fishing-wise, when you do get that chance, I hate to ask you this because it might be a secret place. You don't want anybody else to know about it. But do you have a place you like to go and fish here on the Western Slope when you get that chance?
I mean, I just went. I actually just went yesterday with my girlfriend.
Good for you, man. Get away from the baseball for just a day or two, for at least a day, right?
Oh yeah, it was good. It was just a good day. We had one day off, and I was like, you know, let's go fishing, and we caught over 38 fish actually down at Corn Lake, and it was a fun day. My girlfriend beat me, of course. She took all the fish. But she also caught a 10-pound carp on like a 4-pound line. It was awesome.
That's crazy.
It was insane. She thought she was snagged, and then all of a sudden just pulled out this monster. And the line broke, and I had to jump in the water at least and put it on the bank so she could take a picture with it.
That's great. So she's got scoreboard. She's got bragging rights as the master angler,
yeah.
Right? And of the two of you.
Oh, trust me. She let me know about the whole day yesterday, and then she let all my friends and all my teammates know about it too, that she can beat me every single time we go fishing. And that's what it is. Every single time we go fishing, she always catches more fish than me. It doesn't matter which line she has or anything like that. She always says it's the fisherman. It's not the pole, it's the fisherman.
Right. Or in this case, the fisherwoman, who's got the better, the better connection with the fish out there, right? Knowing where they are and, you know, has a better feel for bait and all that kind of thing. I'm sorry, man, but I think that's kind of funny though. That she's it's great that she's texting everybody and said, "Hey, look, I smoked Jordan again." That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's hilarious. It's really funny, and she gets a hoot out of it, and she's loving it. So I'm happy for her. And anytime that I can get out of baseball mode for a day, it's a nice day to go out there and go hike and go fish and do whatever. Just get out of the groove for a day and refresh your body.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully the next time you'll do better than, what's your girlfriend's name?
Mallory.
You'll do better than Mallory the next time. But it sounds like she's kind of owned you for a while, is the way it sounds.
Oh, yeah. Yep. She has owned me our entire relationship.
Hey, Jordan, appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on today. And, of course, we'll have the Mavericks and Colorado Christian Thursday night right here on the Team CMU Sports Network pregame at 5:45. Jordan, a pleasure. Thank you, man.
Anytime. See you later, guys.
Take care. Jordan Stubbings. His girlfriend Mallory just kicking his butt over at Corn Lake. Catching, what, a 10-pound carp, you said?
Something like that.
Ah, wow. I'm terrible at fishing.
Yeah.
I would get killed by either one of them if I fished against them. It'd be pathetic. I think I caught a fish at Westlake when I was like 8 years old,
mm-hmm.
and it stayed in the freezer forever. Till my mom's like, "Can we throw this thing out now? You're not going to eat it," because I didn't want to eat it because I was a kid. Plus, it was also my trophy, right? Hey, look, we weren't going to get it mounted or anything. But
you didn't stuff it mounted on the wall.
No. Stayed in the freezer forever till my mom's like, "Look, it's been in there for a year. It's time to throw it away."
Can we do something with this?
Let's throw this thing away. And the little tearful Jimmy Dave was like, "Okay,
I'll never catch anything else."
And I have it, to be quite honest. I might have caught sunfish, or I don't remember. It's certainly been a very long time.
You get outfished at the aquatic store.
I could. Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt.
Run around with that.
I could go fishing illegally with dynamite, and I probably still wouldn't catch anything.
A couple people run in there and grab it all.
Or do you really catch them? At that point, you're killing them. You're killing the fish when you throw dynamite in
there.
Which we're not suggesting you do that. Do not do that.
You can't really put those back.
No, you can't.
That's not really a catch and release.
You can't put that toothpaste back in that tube.
No, you got to eat those guys.
That is not a catch and release situation. Yeah. All right, 9:14, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. Let's see if we have some other texts to get to. Got one that came from RJ earlier, listening on 102.1. Jim, it comes down to Tim Tebow intoxicates people. They may sign him to a one-year deal, but he still has to make the team. Seems like they're circulating a buzz in the Jacksonville area. Says Trey Burton is a free agent tight end who used to play for Urban Meyer at Florida. That'd be a better fit if they actually wanted a tight end reunion. Yeah, but RJ, Trey Burton,
ain't nobody going to buy
Tebow.
Tickets to go see Trey Burton.
No, but they're going to buy tickets to see
TRT.
TRT. out there on the football field. Burton doesn't sell tickets. Tim Tebow does. And he'll sell a lot of them, along with Trevor Lawrence. If you're Trevor Lawrence, do you like or dislike this, that Tebow's going to be there? Is it good because you're the number one draft pick? There's a lot of expectations, and it kind of takes the focus off of him a little bit. Allows him to not entirely operate in stealth mode, but certainly is not, won't be the focus as much as if Tebow wasn't there.
But I say for at least a year, you got, if they're not very good.
Or if Tebow was there, excuse me.
If they're not very good and Tebow was there, then they'd be like, well, what do you expect? This is the team that did sign Tim Tebow at 34 to play tight end. It gives him a little bit of a buffer. It does.
It does. I think. Or is on the flip side where, wait a minute, you know, I'm the number one draft pick here. I don't get the feeling that.
I don't get that sense.
Trevor Lawrence is that kind of guy that, wait, I'm the number one pick. They should be talking about me. I don't get that feeling from him.
Right.
Maybe he is that way, but I don't get that sense from him. I think he probably welcomes somebody to, you know, pick up some of the media coverage, the eyeballs, all that stuff, because I don't think Trevor Lawrence loves doing that kind of thing. Or Tim Tebow is a guy that's very good at it. It's a very likable guy. It's very articulate. I think if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I'm okay with that. All right, 9:17, and coming up, Mercedes Boti, the interim coach of the CMU softball team, your RMAC regular season champs. They have the RMAC tournament coming up this week, and we'll talk with her next. Also, Sarah Stottle from the CMU softball team will join us this hour as well. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Cuckoo, loony, and crazy. The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
I take great pride in proudly presenting...
It's Mavs Day on The Jim Davis Show.
Welcome back in. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. It's Mav Day today, and with us right now, the interim head coach of the RMAC regular season champion Colorado Mesa softball team, Mercedes Boti, joins us. Mercedes, I appreciate it. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing well. Unfortunately for your ball club, you didn't get a chance to play that final regular season series against Fort Lewis College. There's nothing to do with COVID. It was some conflicts with their graduation. How much of a plus minus was it to not be able to play that series against the Skyhawks?
It was a little weird having kind of a weekend off. It would have been nice to play and just kind of keep in the normal groove of things, but it was really nice to rest our players and really just kind of focus on playoffs from there on. So the girls were happy to catch up on some sleep and rest their arms and their legs and things like that. So I think it worked out pretty well for us.
So the Mavericks will host the RMAC softball tournament that starts this Thursday over at Bergman Field. And you'll play at 4 o'clock, and you'll wait to find out to see who you play. It'll either be 4th-seeded Colorado School of Mines or 5th-seeded Regis. And Mercedes, that home series against Mines, swept that series, won 3 out of 4 at Regis during the regular season. So whoever you play, you've had some success against in 2021.
Yeah, it's nice to know kind of what we're going to be going up against. And I think we're going to do well. I don't think any of these pitchers are going to blow it by us. I think if we just kind of focus on our game and do well, we'll be just fine.
If it's Colorado Mines, it's a team that comes in with, obviously I mentioned the 4th seed in this tournament. They're hitting .321. A team, like you said, that's got a little offensive pop with Kylie Redding. She has 31 RBIs. Sierra Larson is their RBI leader this year. She has 36. So they have a couple of players that certainly have had put together some good seasons, some good power numbers this season for the Ordiggers.
Yeah, they have a couple good players that definitely can hit and get RBIs and have power. But I think we figured out how to pitch to them pretty well and really just getting the people out around them. So if they do get the big hit, there's no RBI there, and maybe they just get stranded on second base, and then we should be good.
Mercedes Boti, interim head coach of the CMU softball team, with us on the Team Sports Network. What about their pitching? If you end up facing Mines, obviously don't know who they're going to start in that first game on Thursday, but just kind of an overview of their pitching from what you saw when you swept that series over at Bergman Field.
Their pitching, we just need to adjust a little bit sooner to kind of their pitching. They don't have anybody that throws super speedy. I think our pitchers are the best ones in the conference, and we've told our team that. And as long as we can hit off our pitchers and inner squads, you know, it gets slightly easier once we face opponents. And really just attacking early in the count and being aggressive, and we should be successful.
Mercedes Boti, the coach of the CMU softball team. They start the RMAC tournament Thursday at Bergman Field. And so it could be Mines, it could be Regis. And with Regis, they were the ones that handed you your first loss of the season, that 12-6 loss when you played over there. You still won that series, but I'm sure that that's still in the back of your minds about what Regis did with the handing you that first loss during regular season play.
Yeah, it's a little different because that loss, we really made a lot of mistakes kind of all over the board. We weren't adjusting hitting. Our pitchers were definitely off and leaving, you know, pitches way over the plate or walking a lot of batters and making errors in all different ways defensively. So we really kind of gave that game away. I think if they would have proven that they were the better team, you know, we might be a little bit more nervous. But as long as we don't have, you know, 10 mistakes kind of like we did during that game, which we haven't since, so that's good, then we should be, you know, confident and kind of just rolling through.
The Rangers do have a pretty good offensive ball club. The 343 is a team. Jade Lowe's had a good season for them. Team leading 40 RBIs and 11 home runs, so they do pose a challenge in that regard to your pitching staff of some good bats in that Rangers lineup.
Yeah, they do actually hit well, and it's, you know, better teams should hit well in this conference, kind of like we do. The good thing is we have three different pitchers, so we really can just have all three of them throw in the same game and really try to keep them off balance.
And once again, that starts this Thursday, 4 o'clock. Colorado Mesa, the regular season RMAC champs, they will take on either the Colorado School of Mines or Regis at 4 o'clock in the first game of the RMAC tournament for the Mavericks at Bergman Field. And go to the CMU website to get ticket information on that. Mercedes, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much. And best of luck starting out Thursday in the RMAC tournament.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Mercedes Boti, interim coach of the CMU softball team, joining us on the program today. All right. Text or call the show. 970-242-1340 coming up. Sarah Stottle from the CMU softball team will join us to talk about the Mavericks getting ready for the RMAC tournament. That'll be coming up in just a little bit. All right, check the text line. I think we're pretty much caught up.
I think we're caught up, yeah.
It's been a good day. Good day, Pyle. You've been very busy, very active today. Trying to see. Okay, I was looking for something, and don't know what I was. I forgot what I was looking for.
That's
now.
Okay. It happens occasionally.
It does happen occasionally. Okay, that's good. Glad I'm not the only one that happens.
We're gonna have another JUCO qualifier crown today.
That's true.
The South District. There's
which is now what Alabama.
Yes. It's our friends out of Alabama, and I clicked onto the wrong page, so I also have to. There's three teams left today. With the championships going on, it'll be Wallace, Dothan. Actually, there's only two teams left. Wallace, Dothan, and Shelton State. And if I believe Wallace, Dothan is unbeaten, if they win today, then they're done. It's over. They're coming to Grand Junction again. Mackie Sasser, right?
Believe that
big
is
leaguer?
Correct. What the Mets? If I remember back in the day?
So, I'm pretty sure that's at noon today is when that first pitch will be.
Okay, so we already have Miami-Dade that is qualified for the first time since 2014.
Yep.
So, they'll be coming to Grand Junction.
Southern Union got beat by Chatt Valley yesterday. Close one, 20-3. And then Chatt Valley got beat by Shelton State, 12-10. That's Bobby Sproul, right?
I believe Bobby is still there, yes.
Let's hope.
Absolutely.
We just completely misnamed the coach then. If that is. It is Mackie Sasser at Wallace Dothan.
Okay. He's been out here before.
There. Yeah, he was here just a few years ago.
All right. So Sarah Stottle from the CMU softball team coming up in a couple of minutes. Also this day in sports history. Saw this on The Athletic. They have which position groups have been the most improved by each team after the draft and also after free agency. And so we'll hit on some of these here for just a moment. we'll start out with the AFC West. And for Kansas City,
it's got to be the line.
It's got to be the offensive line.
Yeah.
With going out and getting Orlando Brown Jr. in that trade with the Ravens. They also selected center Creed Humphrey, who they think could end up being their opening day starter. They also selected Trey Smith, the guard. They clearly went out and did everything they could to revamp their offensive line. So a little doubt that the offensive line is much better now in Kansas City.
Right.
Raiders improved at the safety spot. That they drafted Trayvon Mullrigg from TCU.
Mm-hmm.
They expect him to be a day one starter. They also added a former strong safety in Divine DiBallo, which they might swing him back to safety. And also Tyree Gillespie, who they think could end up being their future strong safety. You know, they signed veteran Carl Joseph. They have Jonathan Abram, who is their 2019 pick, but they added some depth at that spot. For the Chargers, is their offensive line with the selection of Northwestern's Rashawn Slater in the first round. They also drafted Brendan Jameis in the fifth round. And Jameis is a guy they like his versatility, can back up every position except for center. And so they were part of the overhaul in the offensive line with the offseason and what they did there.
Yeah,
so
Tom Telesco's been putting together a pretty decent offensive line to keep their stud quarterback on his feet, something Cincinnati did not do in the draft.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the Broncos, where I think it's pretty obvious where Denver made the big...
Corner. I misspoke there.
Not quarter.
Left tackle. Oh.
No.
He got better on his own.
He did get better on his own. But they got Ronald Darby, Kyle Fuller in free agency, drafted Patrick Surtain Jr. with the first pick, the ninth overall pick. If Bryce Callahan can stay healthy, Michael Ojemudia certainly came on at the end of last year. He's saying Bassey. The cornerback spot has been dramatically upgraded by George Payton and Vic Fangio. No doubt that the Denver's made some huge strides in that department. All right, you probably want to know, okay, for your Browns.
Oh, I know that one. Secondary.
Cornerback.
They signed like 11 corners in the offseason. They got Johnson and Hill. They drafted Newsom. If Greedy Williams and Grant Delpit are both happy, they're essentially newcomers to the secondary.
They got Troy Hill.
Sucked last year.
Got Troy Hill,
the secondary.
Yeah, but the Troy Hill to play the slot.
Yeah. And he's an insurance policy on the outside, too. If Williams or Johnson or Delpit, any of these guys can't play, he's a guy that can plug into the outside as they move everybody else around.
All right, 9:31. And we'll talk with Sarah Stottle of the CMU softball team in just a moment. Let's get to this day in sports history. 1971, the LA Dodgers recorded 11 hits and a 6-1 win over the Atlanta Braves at Dodger Stadium. The victory is part of a run where the Dodgers recorded 46 hits over four games, but they lost three of them.
They weren't playing the Rockies, apparently. They usually win those games.
Exactly. Well, this is 71, so it's a long time ago. 1980, Philadelphia 76ers forward Julius Erving completed his baseline move in the fourth quarter against the Lakers in Game 4 of the Finals at the Spectrum. Dr. J and the 76ers won 105-102 to even the series at 2-2, but they ended up losing that series to Kareem and Magic and company.
Finally won in what, 83?
Yes, I believe that's the case, yeah. 1984, The Natural came out. It grossed $48 million, which back then was...
That's a lot of money.
A lot of money for a film. Still love The Natural. And I thought Redford did a nice job of looking like he could be a professional athlete. He didn't look weird at the plate. Didn't look weird fielding fly balls.
He didn't look like Tim Tebow playing baseball.
No, he did not. 1985, a fire at Valley Parade Stadium in Bradford, England, killed 56 spectators, injured more than 260. The fire broke out in the main stand during a game between Bradford City and Lincoln City and quickly engulfed the entire stadium because of heavy winds. 1989, Cam Newton was born in Atlanta, Georgia. As a quarterback, He won a Heisman Trophy and a national championship with Auburn and was named the 2015 NFL MVP with the Carolina Panthers. 1996, eight people reported killed after being caught in a storm during their descent after summiting Mount Everest. The tragedy was the basis for the book Into Thin Air and the movie Everest. Also 1997, Deep Blue, a chess-playing computer developed by IBM, beat Garry Kasparov, becoming the first computer to beat a reigning world champion in a match under standard chess tournament rules. So there we go. This day in sports history.
Kind of a thin day for the computer beating the...
it's a thin day, man.
The chess guy.
People dying on Everest and a computer winning a chess match.
Sixers finally got the Lakers in 83. It was 3 out of 4 finals was Lakers-Sixers, I think. 80, 82, and 83.
All right, 934.
Just wrap that part up.
Appreciate you putting a bow on that. 934. We will take a break. We'll come back, and CMU softball player Sarah Stottle will join us in the program. It's coming up. Still time to text in today, 970-242-1340.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
I take great pride in proudly presenting...
It's Mavs Day on The Jim Davis Show.
Welcome back. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bose Darth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Still time to comment today on our Qdoba question of the day. The Jacksonville Jaguars expected to sign former Broncos quarterback Tim Tebow to a one-year deal to play tight end for his former college coach, Urban Meyer, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Are you excited about this for him? If you're a Broncos fan, that Tim's back in the league, you don't care because it's now been 6 years since he played in the league. Philadelphia was his last stop and got cut after the preseason. There was a final cut by the Eagles 6 years ago. So you got some thoughts on that today. Text or call us 970-242-1340. All right, we continue with Mav Day today. And joining us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, she plays for the RMAC regular season champion Maverick softball team. Sarah Stottle joins us. Sarah, appreciate the time. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's great having you with us today. And I know that last weekend had to feel a little weird because you're supposed to play Fort Lewis. You're going to go down to Durango to wrap up the regular season after you already had clinched the RMAC regular season title. But they canceled, and it wasn't because of COVID. It was because it was going to conflict with their graduation ceremonies. I guess for the team, nice to get that weekend off, but also there's probably that part of you. It's like, man, we want to stay in the groove. We wanted to play another series and then head into the RMAC tournament this Thursday. Good or bad for your club that you felt like that you had the weekend off? Didn't really have a choice, but was it a good thing to get some rest right before the RMAC tournament?
I actually think it was really beneficial for us to get some rest. We have some nagging injuries with a couple girls, so having that weekend off and not having to push to go hard for 4 games that I think is really going to help us going into this tournament this weekend.
Sarah Stottle from Redondo Beach, California, redshirt senior for the Mavericks, and has been a second-team All-RMAC selection in 2019, was on the RMAC Gold Glove team in 2019 as well, and a 3-time RMAC All-Academic selection first team, and a couple of honor roll selections as well in 2018-2019. Sarah, let's talk a little bit about your club this year. Offensively, this team has been dynamite. Your pitching has been also outstanding as well with some of the arms that you currently have in the pitching circle. But from an offensive standpoint, one of the better Maverick softball teams you played on from that perspective?
It's a really fun team to play with. I've been fortunate enough my years here that we've been very strong all my years here, but there's just something special about this team. We all have full trust in each other, 1 through 9. We know the girl can get the job done. It's really exciting to play, and we're looking forward to this weekend, and we love hitting together and love playing off of one another and just getting the ball rolling.
Well, Brooke Domer, she's had a great season in your lineup. Lauren Wedman, Ellie Smith, both in the pitching circle and at the plate. She's had a great season as well. But you're right. I mean, this is an offensive lineup that has made it really tough on the opposition, hitting .389 this year as a team. I mean, this has been an incredible offensive season for the Maverick softball team.
Yes, it has been. We love playing together. The energy just keeps rolling off of each other. If someone's having a bad day, we always know that the girl behind us is picking us up, and it makes it a lot easier to when the game's going, because we don't feel the pressure on just one person. We know that we can do it as a team.
CMU softball player, outfielder Sarah Stottle joining us in the program today. Ellie Smith had a great season. Jadair, Shea Mauser in the pitching circle. Who's the one you would not want to face? And let's say it's an RBI situation, chance to win the game. Who would you not want to face of those three teammates?
Probably Shea, because she knows my weaknesses coming in when she has a very weird windup in motion, and being a lefty, you don't see the ball until it's out of her hand. So it gets on you late, and she has a really good changeup. So that's probably who I would not want to face in that situation.
None of them would be my choice, to be quite honest. All of them would be tough. But yeah, it sounds like Shay's kind of got a little the book on you. She knows you well, Sarah, so
yes.
She has a little bit of an advantage there. Sarah Stottle with the CMU softball team, RMAC regular season champs, getting ready for the RMAC tournament. It's now been five consecutive years, Sarah, of winning the RMAC regular season title. Talk about great success and consistency. With changes in head coaches during that period of time, how has this team been able to stay together to do that, to have that kind of consistency despite some changes at the head coaching position?
We've been very fortunate that the team camaraderie has always been extremely strong for us, and each year whoever the leaders are for that team really rally the girl and make sure we stay together. It doesn't matter who's coaching us. As long as we stay together as a team, we know that we're strong enough to keep doing it and do what we do best.
Sarah Stottle with the CMU softball team joining us on the program. I mentioned you're from Redondo Beach, California. Give us the Sarah Stottle story about how you found out about Mesa and how you ended up coming to Grand Junction.
I found out about Mesa. I was playing at a tournament back in Palm Springs, and at the time Coach Garcia was the head coach. And he saw me play, and I had a really good day. He talked to my coach, and then we came out to Colorado for a tournament, and I came over to Grand Junction, visited the school, fell in love with it. I knew I wanted to change from back home, experience seasons for the first time, and the school had everything I wanted. They had the major I wanted. I could tell the girls got along really well, so I knew it was a perfect fit for me.
Now, it says here you're majoring, in sports management. Is that still the track that you're on, sports management?
Yes, I'm actually finishing up my master's in sports management this month.
That's right, because you already graduated, correct?
Yes.
So you already have that behind you, working on the master's now. So it says you want to go to law school, work for a pro sports team, or go to law school and practice sports law. So is that's still the idea for you, that going forward, that you'd like to become an attorney and work in sports law?
The law school route, probably not, because I don't want to go to more school at the moment. Maybe in the foreseeable future, not right now. Right now, I'm probably looking at a more college athletics path, and I've been a graduate assistant in compliance with Austin Kaiser here at CMU for the past year, so probably looking more at that route now.
What's the biggest thing you've learned from having that job, about the compliance job? Because there's a lot of work that goes into that in terms of dealing with all the sports and making sure student athletes are compliant and all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed. I'd imagine you learned quite a bit from that experience.
Yes, 100%. I knew a lot went on behind the scenes, but being involved in it, you really truly see down to the nitty gritty everything that goes on an everyday basis to make sure throughout the year that all athletes are eligible and ready to go.
CMU softball player, outfielder Sarah Stottle joining us on the Team Sports Network. Mavericks will play at 4 o'clock on Thursday at Bergman Field in the RMAC tournament against either Colorado Mines or Regis. Sarah, your team swept Mines at Bergman Field during the regular season. You went to Regis, you won 3 out of 4, but they handed you that first loss of the season when you played over there. How much does that stick in the back of your mind and your teammates' minds about a chance to play Regis again and thinking back to that only loss that you had all those weeks ago?
It definitely sticks out to us. It still gets brought up at practice a time or two that we don't want that feeling again. We need to learn from that. I think if we're put in that situation again, we'll be able to handle it much better. The girls, we're much more confident as a team now, and I truly think that we're ready to go for this weekend.
All right, that is this Thursday, by the way, 4 o'clock against either Colorado School of Mines or Regis over at Bergman Field. Go to the Maverick website to get ticket information for the RMAC tournament at Bergman. Sarah, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much, and best of luck to you and your teammates starting on Thursday in the RMAC tournament.
Thank you so much.
Sarah Stottle of the CMU softball team. Getting a chance with Austin Kaiser to learn about all the paperwork, NCAA regs, all those kind of things.
Sure, that's a lot of fun.
I'm sure it is not a lot of fun. But it's a very important job in regard to making sure student athletes are compliant and eligible and all those things that are part of being a member of the NCAA.
Paperwork just sucks.
It does suck. I agree. It does suck. But, and unfortunately, it's a necessary evil for us, right? It's something that we just all have to deal with. All right, 9:47, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Don't forget, the interviews we did today, they'll be posted on our Twitter feed, on our Facebook page, and our website, theteam1340.com. So you can find them there if you, only caught part of that with Jordan Stubbings and his girlfriend Mallory kicking his butt over at Corn Lake yesterday.
Out fishing him.
Again. Sounds like a pretty regular deal. It sounds like for Mallory, Jordan Stubbings' girlfriend, this is
another day at the office.
Just another day, another day at the lake. Just kicking his butt. So we had a lot of fun talking with him. Chris Hanks as well. You'll be able to find that. I'd say probably right around 10:30 this morning. Once again, at our Twitter feed, Facebook page, and our website, theteam1340.com. All right, 9:48. Still time to text in. Have you kind of narrowed it down as far as our Qdoba winner today?
We're down to a final three.
I think.
Yeah, we have.
Can you tell me who's in the final three?
AJ had some good stuff this morning.
Okay, yeah,
RJ had some good stuff this morning as well. We also have Keith had some good stuff as well.
Okay, so one of those will be the winner today. Let's see. Tomorrow's program. Do you want to mention that we'll have Av and Nugget Day tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Altitude Day. Connor McGahee will join us at 8:20 tomorrow.
Does he know this yet?
Yes, he does.
Oh, okay. He's aware. Okay.
Yes, I texted him yesterday.
Nice.
Gave me the Roger.
Roger that Jimbo.
That's
Jimmy.
Jimmy. Sorry. Jimmy.
Jimmy.
He calls me Jimmy, and I'm perfectly fine with it. I like he calls me Jimmy. It's okay. Don't you start that, but...
Because I still have to work here. He only pops out once a week.
Well, let's just
you
be
like
honest.
Him more than me.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. If you
want
to interpret
it though.
If you want to interpret it that way, that's up to you.
Yeah. There wasn't a no, not at all. Yeah. None of that there.
You're okay. You're all right. You're okay, guy. Yeah, you are. You know you're my boy, Blue.
Yeah.
You know you are. You are.
So.
All right, 9:50. Shall we get to...
Who's our Nuggets person tomorrow?
Oh, it's Chris Dempsey tomorrow.
Dempsey, nice.
Chris will join us on tomorrow's program. And possibly maybe Jamie Hamilton or Darren Coltonary.
Ooh.
One of those two from the JUCO committee.
So. Yeah, and like we mentioned earlier this hour, we'll have a second team in the field.
And we might have that coach or the Miami-Dade coach on tomorrow as well. That's a possibility, too.
Yeah, could very well.
Just have to find out tomorrow. Just have to tune in, listen tomorrow, starting at 7 o'clock. Exactly. Lock it in for a full three tomorrow, 7 to 10. Time to hop in the dumpster.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Oh, I love trash.
All right, some of these things, or one of these things we already talked about, four down territory, but Kenny Mayne leaving ESPN after being there for 3 decades. Think about that. 3 decades for Kenny Mayne. And the report is that they offered him less money. He's going to take a big pay cut. And so that's why he's like, okay, I'm out of here.
Yeah, he's peacing out. Where does he land?
His style's different, right?
It really is.
And so I don't know. I don't know where he's going to end up. FS1, because, I mean, now that the NBC Sports Network is pretty much gone. I mean, they carry stuff on Peacock on their streaming service, but it's not like
it was.
They're
going to shutter the almost the entire network as a channel.
Right. So FS1, maybe? Is there a place for him at FS1? Like I said, his style is, it's a little bit self, it's self-deprecating. He's
super
funny.
Super dry. It's
very, very
too.
Dry sense of humor. So I don't know. I don't, maybe he'll, you know what? I can see him doing podcasts. I can see him becoming a podcast guy. Because his style lends itself to interviews, conversation, kind of goofing around, the dry sense of humor. I could see where that might be the next frontier for a guy like Kenny
May. I
could
see maybe getting latching on with NFL Network maybe too.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe follow Eisen over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a possibility. I could see him doing some of pieces like he did for ESPN, the NFL Network.
Yeah. Like the main event type stuff.
I could see that happening. All right. Do you have something? Because I've got something.
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Have you heard of Amy Bakkerstedt?
No, I have not.
She, 2 years ago, was the first person with Down syndrome to earn an athletic scholarship. And she is the first person to now compete in a college championship event, teeing off yesterday at 11:50.
Okay, that was what was on, I think, Get Up this morning. Mm-hmm. They had a shot of her teeing off.
Yep.
So go
Paradise Valley Community College for Amy Bakkerstedt.
Congratulations.
Cool.
Huge moment in that young lady's
Absolutely.
Life. That's fantastic. All right. Bob Baffert. Remember the other day when he denied that his horse, Medina Spirit, took an illegal substance?
Yep. Then, how's that denial going, Bob?
Of course, went on to win the Kentucky Derby over a week ago. But now, Bob Baffert, why does this only happen to me?
Mm-hmm.
What has only happened to Bob Baffert?
Yeah.
He issued a statement saying he has learned that Medina Spirit was treated with an antifungal ointment that contained betamethasone. Mm-hmm. Leading up to the Kentucky Derby, the ointment was used once a day up until the race to treat dermatitis.
Hmm.
Following the Santa Anita Derby, Medina Spirit developed dermatitis on his hind end. This is from Baffert. I had him check.
Rash.
He had a butt rash. It took his troubles. Yeah, the red ass, but literally had that.
Yes.
Not just was angry.
Red itchy.
Had a literally, yeah, a red buttocks. I had him checked out by my veterinarian, who recommended the use of an antifungal ointment called Otomax. The veterinarian, easy for me to say, recommendation was to apply this ointment daily to give the horse relief. So now he's blaming it on, to a degree, the veterinarian?
Yeah, essentially,
right?
Yeah.
I have been told by equine pharmacology experts that this could explain the test results. And so, as such, I wanted to be forthright about this fact as soon as I learned of this information. Wouldn't you have already known about this, Bob?
Right.
Wouldn't you have already thought, hey, maybe
It might be the ointment.
This might trigger a positive test?
Yeah. I love what Paul Papp said yesterday on the Dan Patrick Show. Bob Baffert is one more positive test away from blaming the horse.
Yeah, I don't know what the horse was doing, you know? We let him have some time off from training.
He went to GNC. I don't know what he bought.
I don't know what he buys there. I know he's putting on that red itchy buttocks. I don't know what he's doing. Crazy Medina Spirit. It's crazy lunkhead. It's a party animal. Been one all of his life. That's our show for today. Altitude day tomorrow. Make sure you join us 7 o'clock right here on the team.